Father, we pray that you might give us eyes to see you, hearts that know you, and hands that are warm to each other. In Jesus' name, amen. Our story this morning of Jesus healing the blind man in Mark, I think, is very important to the life of our church at the moment. It's important, I think, because so many people that I meet are worried or even dismayed at what they see in the papers each and every day about the life of the church. Whether it's Australian prime ministers having to apologise for the way that religious organisations have covered up abuse for decades, or whether it's synods that are debating what may or may not be permissible on their property, or whether it's just all this anxiety about religious freedom and how does that work, there are so many people who feel so disheartened with the church today. But I think the truth of the matter is that the future of the church starts right here. It starts among us. It begins with what we think the church should be and become. Because if we want a different end to the story, well, then it's up to us to write a fresh chapter, which is why I come back to the story of Bartimaeus. As we've seen over the last couple of weeks through chapters 9 and 10, Mark is warning Christians about how they can so mess up this whole discipleship thing, not only for them, but for everybody else. Whether it's thinking that somehow we have the power to change people's lives instead of God, or the kind of endless arguments that we have amongst ourselves as to who's more important and who should be in charge, or whether it's being exclusive, let alone our penchant for pedantry, creating rules that define who can come to God and when and how. All of this creates obstacles in the way. Which is why I think the story of Bartimaeus is really important, because it shows us how we can get discipleship right. It does that because Jesus models for us how to take out the stumbling blocks and how to serve others. It's here, I think, that we get a glimpse of what the church can be, what we can be together as a community. So let's start at the beginning of the story. Jesus and his disciples are about a day's walk from Jerusalem. He's really close to getting there, the point at which he's been traveling for days, if not weeks. And the closer he gets to the end, the more important it becomes to understand who Jesus is and what he's doing. Jesus has spent a brief time in Jericho, and now he's on the way out of town. And it's in this moment we are introduced to this blind beggar sitting beside the road. Unlike so many people in Mark's gospel, this person has a name, Bartimaeus. So many that we've met in the gospel so far have been unnamed. And the fact that he's named makes him stand out. It's a bit like having an old family photo and you're wondering who all these strangers are. And then your aunt comes over and says, oh, that's your uncle and that's your cousin. Oh, and that's her boyfriend that she brought along that day, you remember? And all of a sudden it comes to light in a different way. And so I wonder, with the naming of Bartimaeus, is Mark calling out to the community, hey, you guys, you remember this guy, you know him. For Bartimaeus, what we see here, it's a Kairos moment. It's that moment in life where something happens, where God is present, and he has to respond in some kind of way. The old saying goes, opportunity only knocks once. but not for Bartimaeus. Jesus has come into town, and now he's going. What's Bartimaeus going to do? He's seen Jesus come once. Is he going to keep sitting there and let Jesus sail on by for the second time? But he has a choice. Sit there or get Jesus' attention. But how? So he calls out, "Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy." No doubt, the closer Jesus came, the louder he got. And how did everyone around Jesus respond? They got annoyed. And it's not hard to imagine why they would get annoyed. I mean, if you think about it, Jesus is right near Jerusalem and we're traveling with him and this is so amazing. This is so wonderful. We're with Jesus and all this great stuff is happening. And will you be quiet? All that bellowing? Ugh. Just stop and go away. The disciples were so enthusiastic when that wealthy person came along to join them. But this poor beggar, they're not interested in him. It's ironic that this blind man can see what's happening. He knows a kairos moment when he sees it, which is why he not only uses his loudest voice, but a term of address most likely to get Jesus' attention. You see, Son of David is an unusual term. It's a blatantly messianic term, a term that has a militaristic kind of edge because it recalls King David, that mighty nationalistic champion of Israel. So no way was Bartimaeus going to let this moment pass. It's funny. It's funny to think that in our world, we think that so many people just aren't interested in God anymore. I'm not sure that's true. I'm not sure that people aren't interested so much as we just really aren't listening properly. Because I think many people are calling out for mercy in their lives. They're just not using the word that Bartimaeus uses. But their lives are calling out for things like compassion or assistance or help from anyone who can offer anything. Whether it's migrants walking across Mexico, whether it's those poor souls still locked on Nauru, whether it's young people in foster care or elderly people in nursing homes, they're calling out for justice and generosity. People in the workplace who are overlooked and whose contribution is ignored because of their race, their gender, their orientation, or because simply they have a disability. They are calling out for fairness and to be treated equally. They can see something is not right, and so they call out. The only question is God's people listening? What happens next is a kairos moment for the disciples. Jesus stops. So many of my Bible-believing friends skip over this bit as though it's unimportant, but it's really important. All they can see is Jesus is on the way to die in Jerusalem, to die for the sins of the whole world. And nothing will get in the way. The only thing is, Jesus stops. He stops. He listens to this person. And when he hears the cry, he calls back, "Bring him here." He's not distracted by the blind man. No, that's why he's going to Jerusalem. justice and compassion are never peripheral issues to Jesus. It's out of justice and compassion that Jesus stops everything to meet with this beggar, this person who is blind and noisy and irritating and causing a huge ruckus. He stops. But of course, this leads to another moment of choice for Bartimaeus, doesn't it? What does Bartimaeus do? You've got Jesus' attention. What do you do? Does he move towards Jesus? Or does he sit there and expect Jesus to come to him? Like most beggars, Bartimaeus was sitting there with a large cloak. The cloak was really important. It was a thing you would put out, and because you're blind, it's the easy thing that catches all the coins, all the bread crusts that people might throw you or drop your way. It's the thing that catches everything, so you can pull it in to keep yourself going for the day. And what we see is that Bartimaeus, in a heartbeat, leaves his cloak, jumps to his feet, and he's off like an arrow towards Jesus. It makes me wonder, how do we respond when Jesus calls out to us? Are we prepared to leave what we're doing and respond? People who are vulnerable and hurt, much like Bartimaeus, usually hold tight the things that are close to them. And the less they have, the tighter those things become. That's why so many homeless people have shopping carts with them. Middle-class people are a little different. The things we hold most closely are things we hold in our hearts or in our minds. We might need mercy, but because we hold on to pride or our cleverness, we don't ever call out to God when he passes by. We hold on to things like respectability and being cool. And so these things keep us on the roadside, never with Jesus when he walks by. But Bartimaeus leaves it all behind. All that he has in the hope that Jesus will give him something better. Something perplexing happens next. Jesus asks Bartimaeus a question. He asks him a question. And it's so easy for us to think, oh, come on, Jesus. You're God, he's blind, join the dots. But Jesus does this, I think, for a few reasons. Jesus asks him, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus, by asking this question, is showing Bartimaeus respect. What do you want me to do? And so many of my Bible-believing friends can miss the significance of this too. Because how easy is it for us as Christians to presume that because we follow God, we know what the world needs? Jesus slows down enough to ask a question, to respect someone enough to see what they want and need. This question, of course, poses Bartimaeus an enormous challenge. Does he want the causes or the symptoms of his plight to be answered? Jesus could no doubt give him some money, some bread, enough to keep him going for a day or two. That was easy enough. Maybe Bartimaeus is after something a bit more. We don't know how or why he's blind, whether it was the result of an injury or an illness. He could have wanted vengeance or retribution upon whomever blinded him. That's entirely possible. So Jesus asks him a simple question. It's not the kind of question we Christians ask people today, is it? We're perhaps more used to asking other people things like, do you want to be saved? We give people bevies of doctrinal questions that somehow if people give us the right answers, well, then we'll help them. Jesus doesn't go in for any of that. It's funny, Jesus doesn't say to him, guy, dude, I'm in the spiritual business. It's more important for me to get your soul into heaven, so you just sit there for 10 days and I'll pop back and it will all be fixed. You'll get into heaven and everything will be right. No. Jesus doesn't say that either. He hears his experience and Jesus responds to Bartimaeus. Let me see again. Let me see again. Is what he wants. And it all seems so easy from this point onwards. There's no spitting in the dirt, there's no long and drawn out prayer. No, Jesus simply declares, your faith has made you well. And Bartimaeus immediately gains his sight and follows Jesus. Wow, it all happens so quick. It's so ironic, isn't it, that a blind man can see what Jesus is on about. It's ironic because he can see that Jesus brings hope and healing and life to people who seem dead and broken and hopeless. Bartimaeus didn't simply want his eyes to work. Now, I think the fact that he joins Jesus and follows him on the way signals something more. That what Bartimaeus wanted was to be a part of a community that made a difference to him and to others. So he leaves everything he has to grasp what he can receive. He was healed and he responds by following Jesus. As a leader, I've got to tell you, I find this story really uncomfortable. I find it uncomfortable for three reasons. I find it uncomfortable because it challenges me to listen carefully to the people I meet. That's not easy when you are a minister or a religious leader because you're assumed to know everything. So it makes it really hard to listen. It challenges me in a second way. It challenges me to stop, or at least to slow down long enough to notice the people around me. Because my life moves so fast, there are so many things that I need to keep on top of. I just go at a million miles an hour. So to stop and to slow down and to notice the needs and the cries of those around me. It's really challenging and important. It challenges me in a third way because I know so many people like Bartimaeus who need healing in their lives. They want their bodies to be restored. They want the shadows of mental illness to be chased away. And I can't fix it. I can't heal them with my prayers. I can't make any of that happen. But to worry about that, I think, is to miss the point of the story. Bartimaeus follows Jesus, and the one thing that I can do is to follow Jesus too. Because if I follow Jesus, then maybe there's a chance that this church might become a community where people like Bartimaeus can feel heard, where they can feel loved, where they can find some kind of mercy in their life. So you can see why I think the story of Bartimaeus is important to the church now more than ever, because it reminds us of who we are called to be. We have freedom in Christ. Our religious freedom is not something to be defended upon the battlements. No, we have freedom in Christ to be merciful, to be compassionate, to be people who are eager to see justice done. And there's nothing in this world that can take away that kind of freedom. That's the freedom that we are called to celebrate. And that, I think, is the kind of church that we are called to become, the kind of place that we can build here as a community that listens, that stops long enough to see mercy and compassion and grace become a reality in all our lives. So I pray that as little as that seems, that that can actually be a very great deal for God to go to work with in our lives, in our community, and in our world. Amen.